Hello, everybody. So this is gonna be like my I'm gonna go ahead and just kind of like do like a quick introduction about what this podcast is, why I'm doing it. And yeah. So this podcast is history in a nutshell. Now, history is a boring class for most people. I love history. I love everything about it. And I understand the concepts really well. Not like math or anything. If you ask me to break down math in front of you, it'd take me a while. But when it comes to history, I love it and I will understand it. So, yeah, history's a boring class and you just never want to sit through it. However long you're in there, I'm in history for like an hour and I, sometimes some days I'm just falling asleep. But I can see it in other people too. They're just very close to just passing out. So, history can also be a very complicated subject. There's a lot of sometimes there's a lot of political things that start a war. There's a lot more in depth than what we are taught and what we learn. And sometimes it just gets really complicated. And I'm here to break that down, make it a little bit easier, and maybe fix some misconceptions. And that's kind of what I wanted to do today. So. There's a lot of common misconceptions about things in history. I want to start with World War One first, because World War One was a war that changed how we would conduct warfare in the future. It changed technology, it changed the world, and it was very important. And maybe I might go ahead and break down World War One pretty maybe in this episode. Who knows? Depends on how fast I get through the common misconceptions. So one of the biggest misconceptions of World War One, and despite what you believe, is that Germany started World War One. And you can believe that they did, but when it comes down to technicalities, Germany didn't really start World War One. So basically, you have this giant. Now, in order to understand how this war started, we need to understand that there's a giant alliance system. So you have all these European superpowers that are all linked together. Superpowers like Russia and the UK and France, plus some other countries that are all they're all in an alliance. So if one goes to war, all of them go to war. And then you have this smaller alliance called the Triple Alliance, where you have, oh, and the bigger alliance include Japan as well. I'm sorry, I missed that. So, anyway, you get to this smaller alliance, which includes Germany and Austria-Hungary, which was one country at the time, and Italy. So, Austria-Hungary had this deal with Germany that said, hey, listen, if we go to war, you gotta back us. And Germany's like, oh, okay, well, we can do that. So Serbia, and then we need to skip down to Serbia. We have the alliance system, we have these countries, and now we have Serbia, which was in the Balkans. Now you have these two, conflicting powers. You have Austria-Hungary and Russia that both want to go in the Balkans because of resources. They wanted resources and every country wanted to be the best at that time, During that time period, technology was booming and every country wanted to be the best. They wanted to show everybody else, listen, if we go to war, I can beat you. And that's what they believed. And so they needed resources for that. And so the Balkans was a good place to go. However, the Balkans had a lot of nationalists, Slavic nationalists to be precise. And we're just going to call them Serbian nationalists to make it just a little bit more simple. So you have this country that was annexed from Serbia. So Serbia had a mutual relationship with Russia. They weren't technically alliance, but they had a relationship. They had a relationship deep enough to where if Serbia went to war, Russia might go to war with whoever Serbia's going to war with. Now, the reason Serbia wanted to be with Russia was because of the Serbian nationalists. Again, the Slavic nationalism. Russia had very Slavic origins, and so Serbia said, listen, if you want my resources, I'm gonna give it to Russia because, go Russia, they have Slavic descent. So you have now this one superpower is getting all of this stuff, and you have Austria-Hungary that's kind of pissed off now. They're kind of like, well, what the heck? So Austria-Hungary decides to go in, and they decide to. I'm going to refer to Austria-Hungary as Austria just to make it a little bit more easy. So Austria decides to go in, and they decide to annex this country. So they take this country and they make the Austrians live with these Serbian people. Now, the Serbian nationalists, what they wanted to do was take, they wanted to make one giant country of Slavic descent. So that's why they wanted to side with Russia, so that they can make one giant country. And Austria took this land, which had Slavic descent. So Serbia is now getting a little bit angry. They're like, hey, listen, that's our land. You can't do that to those people. And Austria just kind of said, screw off. We don't really care. And so these people inside of the country were kind of getting, angry. And they're like, hey, what the heck? Let us go back. Let us go back. And they said, no. And so now we come to the part which kicked off the entire World War. You get the Archduke Ferdinand, the Archduke of Austria, goes into that area that they annexed, that they took from from Serbia. And the Serbian nationalists kill him. They assassinate Archduke Ferdinand. And Austria decides to blame it on the Serbian government. So now we're at the point where tensions have arisen between Serbia and Austria. And Serbia decides to make a move. The nationalists in Serbia decide to make a move and kill the Archduke, the leader of Austria. And so now Austria is like, well, hold on. You just killed our leader. That's like if Russian nationalists within our country killed the president. Now there's going to be a war. There's going to be a war with the Russian nationalists or the Russian government. So of course, Austria blamed it on the Serbian government. And they said, you know what? We're declaring war. So now, this is kind of what started. Because Austria was going to war, now Germany was going to war. But since Germany was going to war, Italy was going to war. And now, since Serbia was going to war, their mutual relationship roped Russia into the war. And now, Russia, because they are aligned with Japan, France, and the UK, now they're all in the war. So now you have all these countries that were just kind of brought into the war between only two people, the Austrians and the Serbians. And so that's one of the common misconceptions, that Germany started World War I, but that's not true. It was actually the Serbian nationalists that killed the Austrians. And you could say that Serbia started it, you can say that Austria started it, but they both started it. Austria took their land, and Serbia said, I'm killing your leader. And then Austria was like, okay, well, I'm starting war. So that was one of the I would say that's one of the misconceptions. And I hope it made it a little bit easier to understand. Actually, I'm gonna go ahead and just break down how World War One no. Okay, so yeah, and I wanna go over like a misconception about World War Two. So, World War II, a lot happened in World War II, and people always say that Germany started World War II. And again, I would say that's just another misconception. And there was really, it actually starts before, Hitler. I think it starts at about a year after Hitler comes to power. Hitler comes to power about 1932, I want to say. Around the 1930s, early 1930s, and Japan, who's 1933, I believe in 1933 they decided to walk into China and blow up a radio station, right? And that overall started World War II. Japan went into a land and they did horrible things to people. And I don't want to talk, it's very uncomfortable. They did very, very bad things. I mean, you can research it, you can look deeper into it, but that's as deep as I'm gonna go right now until maybe a further episode where I go deeper into World War II. But Japan goes in and they do all these things, and then now China's getting mad, and they go to war, but treaties with loads of treaties and loads of other things. Now Japan has sided with Germany, and so then Germany goes to war, but Germany's already technically kind of in a war, and the UK is now starting to like be like, "Hey, stop what you're doing." But yeah, Japan really made the first move, and you can kind of say that, well, Germany invaded Poland, which started World War II, but there was a lot building up to it, and that, it wasn't really something like that. So yeah, that would be like another misconception. That it was just Germany. It wasn't just Germany. It was also Japan that did stuff like that. Well, I'm about 11 minutes in, and I want to get some more time on this. So World War II seems like a pretty complicated topic. And so I want to break it down because World War II is really interesting, with the Western Front, the Eastern Front. And I kind of just want to break it down, not go super deep into it, until a later episode. And so let's go ahead and start. So about the end of World War I, which is 19, I want to say 1917, Germany got blamed for everything. They got blamed for starting the war. They got blamed for killing everybody, and so treaties and boundaries were placed on Germany. A lot of Germany's land was taken, and like the treaties of Versailles and treaties saying, you know what, Germany, you can't do this. Like, you can't have an air force. You can't have as many people as you did in the army as you had in World War I. And all these things, and then they had to pay for the entire war, which completely wrecked their economy. And also, right after World War I, around the 30s, so now they're paying with money that they don't have, and they're printing money. And then 1930, the Great Depression hits, and Germany's economy is just, oh, it's at the bottom, rock bottom. It's destroyed, and they don't know what to do. And so now you have lots of parties coming in. From communist Russia, they're now influencing people, and so you have a communist party, and you have other parties saying, "No, listen, we need communism," and then you have the far right wing, fascist, people who are starting to talk about, "No, we don't like the communists." And eventually, you get a little man with a little mustache, who we later begin to know as Adolf Hitler, who steps in and becomes the leader of the Nazi Party, and he eventually rises through the political ranks to become it was either chancellor, second in the chancellor, to the president. I believe he became chancellor, and he was talking to the leader of Germany. He was second to the leader of Germany, and he was trying to influence him, make the Nazi Party ours. But eventually, Hitler, a little bit about Hitler really quick, is that he didn't hate the country. Like, he really loved the country, and the reason why he stepped up to becoming leader was to fulfill, was to bring Germany back together to what it really originally was, to make it a big empire again, to Reichs. Unite all the elite Aryan peoples, and to do that to gain support of the people. Everybody's pissed off, right? So now when he's rising and he's trying to become the leader of Germany, the sole leader, we need to understand how he did it. How did such a horrible person become leader in the first place? Well, you have all these angry people, And so when you're really angry and you don't know whose fault it is, your country's failing, and you need to blame someone. You need to blame people. And Hitler, in order to gain power, says, you know what? It was the Jewish people, because they controlled the banks. And so everybody's like, well, yeah, it makes sense. It's their fault. And so people started going over to his side. And then a lot of people hated the communists. And so he said, you know what? The communists are trying to ruin us. It was the communists' fault. And I said, well, yeah, you're right. you know what, I think I'm gonna go with you. And so that's how he eventually became to power, and he established his dictatorship, you know, silenced all of his opponents, and now you have Nazi Germany. And like I said before, they aren't the only ones that started World War II. So you have all these restrictions now, and the government is falling, and Hitler decides, you know what, we're gonna build an army. So Hitler starts building up his army, and all the other superpowers of Europe are saying, hey, listen, Germany, you can't do that. And Germany just kind of says, screw off, I'm gonna do it anyway. And the people are like, okay, I guess I can't do anything about it. Then Germany starts to build an air force. And then UK, the UK, France, so hey, listen, Germany, you can't do that. And Germany just kind of said, screw off, I'm gonna do it anyway. So they just kind of let it happen. But once Hitler took the step into Poland, Hitler started putting all of his troops along the borders of Poland, and along with Stalin as well. They say, you know, we're not gonna invade. We're not gonna invade Poland. And then Japan does their thing, and Hitler invades. He invades Poland, and he does exactly what he says that he's not going to do. And now all the other powers are like, okay, you know what? We gotta stop this. And so they say, listen, Germany, UK says, listen, Germany, if you don't stop what you're doing right now, I'm gonna go to war with you. And Germany doesn't reply, and so now the UK goes to war. But the UK, it wasn't just the UK that went to war. Now that the UK and Germany were at war, so was France, so was Italy, so was Russia, and so was Japan. You have the Axis powers versus the Allied powers, and America doesn't come in till the late part of the war. And so now you have these major countries all just going at it again. And Hitler starts playing his moves by going to the Western Front to go take over France. And he eventually establishes the Eastern Front to try and take Russia. The Western Front, however, was a very, very important part. It was one of the main battlefields. And the Western Front is where everything changed.